This is Album Worms. It's like a book club, but for albums. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris. And on this episode, we will be talking about Record Store Day.
Let's get started. Welcome to Album Worms. Welcome to another episode of Album Worms. Please take a moment and subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast and follow us on Instagram at Album Worms. Well, Chris, we have Record Store Day upon us coming up this week on June 12th. So I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to come together and just talk about some of our favorite record store memories.
Yeah, you know, I know you and me kind of really enjoy records, and you know, we've been going to record stores for a while, and Amoeba was kind of one of our places we'd always go, and
a pilgrimage we went on.
Yeah, definitely. Who would have thought 35 miles would seem, you know, forever to get up to there? But, you know, it created a lot of really cool memories for me. Yeah, I'm excited to kind of talk about it.
Yeah, record stores are such an important part of local communities. And it was a big part of our childhood growing up and then into our high school and adult years. And definitely has shifted as life has gone on and the different ways people have listened to music over the years. Now Spotify and Apple Music and all the streaming services really kind of shifted the way people discover music, right? Because we used to go to listening stations, and that was one of the main ways I learned about music. Oh, or yeah. Live shows, or just word of mouth, radio, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I kind of remember you and I used to go to Tower Records.
Oh yeah.
And go all like listening stations, and that was kind of a thing. But you know, it's now, you know, records are popular again, and it's cool.
Yeah, Tower Records had the best listening stations because I feel the people that worked there were into more of the music that we were listening to. It wasn't some of the other big brand stores like Best Buy or Circuit City back in the day. It was just whoever paid to be at the end of the row of CDs would get the prominent location. But Tower Records seemed to have a lot of good records to listen to and discover a lot of good stuff that way. We spent hours there together.
Yeah, we sure did.
But with that, I think Record Store Day was created to really save those memories that might not, for my kids, who knows how they will experience music or record stores. There's not really, they don't have to go to a store to acquire music, which is going to be a new thing for the coming generations.
Yeah, definitely.
Organizations that put together things like Record Store Day really helps preserve, hopefully, those independent record stores that really serve the community. And it's, to me, really therapeutic to go to a record store.
Yeah, I would agree, you know, kind of thumbing through, you know, certain records and kind of just being, you know, finding something you've wanted for a while, or, you know, hunting that record down that you've been looking for years. You know, it's nice to go and just kind of thumb through. I mean, I can spend hours at a record store.
Absolutely. Yeah, it seems maybe obscure to want to go do that to some people, but it's so therapeutic to really just go in and, like you said, thumb through the records. There might be ones in the back of your head that you're looking for. Maybe you discover one, or what, maybe you find one that's hard to find. And also the artwork is part of it too. It's just sometimes it's fun to look at the artwork and see different things, discover new things that might look a little obscure, and then you learn something new. Maybe you see like something, I think we've both learned, discover new music that way. Something just catches your eye and then you look it up and discover it. And yeah, back in the day, we used to be able to, I know I liked how records, you can even ask to listen to a record. But now you just pull it up on Spotify and check it out, I guess.
I think that's what you hope it's on there. I know, you know, some of the stuff I found, you know, through records, they don't have on there because it might be a Record Store Day release, you know, something right. special.
Yeah, that is something unique about Record Store Day is they are releasing music or special releases that you can't find on Spotify.
Yeah, and it's neat. It keeps it fresh, and people that are collectors, you always like finding that thing you're looking for. I always enjoyed finding that record that I've been wanting to find, but, you know, was super rare or hard to find.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's do some history, if you will. So kind of replace our album details. I pulled up the origin story of Record Store Day, and it was conceived in 2007 as a gathering of independent record store owners and employees, and they came together to celebrate the kind of the unique culture of, I guess at the time, nearly 1,400 independently owned record stores in the U.S. And they kind of came up with this idea, and they were able to pull it together. For the first Record Store Day took place on April 19th, 2008.
That's cool. Not too long ago.
Not too long ago, yeah. I mean, obviously, when we were in high school, there were no Record Store Days. But that then again, back then, that was the only way to buy music. It was Tower Records, Circuit City, Second Spin. It was some of those. And then you would go to like an Amoeba for those special. I think if you're looking for vinyl or something like that, you would go to Amoeba. But for your everyday music, you had all those other options. And a lot of times, for me personally, I would just see who had the better deal or special like bonus track or special gift that came with it on release day. But also release day, I don't know if you remember this, it was always paid off to buy a record the first week it came out because it was always cheaper that first week.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I always used to think that was funny. It's like, oh, I got to get it this week, Mom.
Yeah. You know,
take me to the store, please.
Definitely. And, I mean, do you know why they did that?
No.
Yeah, so they first week sales for records is a huge deal. So, and they report to SoundScan at the end of each week. So every label, distributor, they always wanted to push the record really hard that first week. So they would basically, and I think a lot of times, sell the album almost at cost or a little bit above cost that first week, just so the numbers would be good that first week.
Huh. I mean, that makes total sense. I guess I should have figured that one out.
Yeah, not too complicated.
No, not at all.
But today, Record Store Day is actually celebrated on every continent except for Antarctica. So now it's a worldwide celebration. And on Record Store Day, what happens is there's festivities, there's each record store, they'll do their own thing, whether they have like DJs or live performances. Sometimes there's parades or cookouts, whatever it might be. It's meet and greets. But now they've also integrated special vinyl and sometimes, and we're probably closer to the original part of this, they had CD releases that were exclusive for that day. So sometimes that's like live performances or rare, maybe like bootleg or things that just were out of print for a long time. Sometimes there'll be like cover albums, all these things that you can't buy. Or nowadays, the special part of this is there's all these releases that they come out on Record Store Day. Most of the stuff you can't find on the streaming services. And a lot of times it's limited in number about how many they release. So they become collector's items as well. So it's an investment and something that you can actually listen to analog and know that I can't go listen to this on a Spotify, even though I can do that for 99% of everything else. At least there's still that kind of uniqueness to it.
Yeah, definitely.
So most of the time before the pandemic, it was just one day. But in 2020, because of the pandemic, I believe it was pushed back a couple times. Then they eventually just decided they would morph it into three different days to kind of make sure the crowds aren't as big due to social distancing. So they had August 29th, September 26th, and October 24th. And then they also kind of discontinued the parties and the celebration part of it for that year. There's also a Black Friday release day as well, so they kind of do a say record store day on Black Friday as well. So going into this year, they separated it into 2 days. So we got the first one coming up this week, June 12th, and then we'll have another one on July 17th.
Yeah, that's nice that they're doing two days this year. It seems kind of like I was thumbing through everything. It seems like there's a lot over the two record store days that is coming out. I mean, I was just kind of floored by everything.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah. I some of it I was like, why would anybody even want to listen to this? But, you know, hey, to each his own, right?
Yeah, some of it you definitely have to scratch your head, or some of it I have no idea what they're talking about. So
yeah, I did like the Gorillaz was putting out like a box set of some stuff. Seemed kind of interesting. It was a limited number, you know, all that.
Yeah, most of it is. Did you know that they have every year? I guess starting in 2009, they have a record store day ambassador.
No, really?
Yeah, I didn't realize this. So I guess back in the day in 2009, Jesse Hughes from Eagles of Death Metal just declared himself record store day ambassador.
Really? I could see that.
Yeah, he just claimed it. And then from there, it just became a thing. So other people, Ozzy Osbourne or Iggy Pop, Jack White, Chuck D, Dave Grohl, I guess all Metallica, Pearl Jam, all these other people have been the record store day ambassador. And I guess they have like a ceremonial sash that they wear.
That's great.
But this year, the ambassador is Fred Armisen.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I saw, if you look it up, it's worth looking into. He kind of shares like how records were really important to him growing up. So I find that type of stuff fascinating. So if you do too, go check out Record Store Day's website. You can probably find it there.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. That's pretty interesting. It's kind of fun to, you know, see people like that or famous people kind of geek out on stuff and collect, you know, especially records. That's cool.
Yeah, I always think of Elton John a lot when I am thinking about my own kind of obsession with liking to collect records, because here's one of maybe the greatest rock stars of all time. And I guess he would go to Tower Record before they would open early for him, the Tower Records in LA, and he would record shop every Tuesday, because back then records came out on Tuesdays, right? So he'd come in every Tuesday before the store opened, and he would go peruse all the records and buy a ton of records every single week. And I don't know, there's something about that. I loved his music, but there's just this other respect for him as just,
yeah.
I love people like that and Dave Grohl, who are these like big rock stars, but they just are just fanboys of music.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy, Spotify will even do it, you know, when they give the top, the bands like top playlists of whatever music they're listening to.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, just I like kinda, that too.
You know, just give them a glimpse of, like, what they're into, you know. And same thing when you find out people are record collectors, it's kind of, you either kind of are like, oh, I could see that, or you're just like, oh, I had no idea they collect records. And it's kind of fun to see people's music tastes.
Yeah.
Because it's such a fun thing. You know, I've got friends that strictly collect colored vinyls.
Right.
That's their thing. Like, oh, check out this Seafoam Green, you know, record. And it's, you know, that's all they collect. Or some people just collect jazz. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But the whole color thing is funny. I love colored vinyl. I think it's cool to look at, and it's a fun way to collect. But then, like you said, there's some people that just do that. And then there's the other side of that coin where the old school traditional black licorice people think they're complete posers for only wanting the color.
Yeah. Oh, it's only record collecting if it's, you know, the black, whatever. I mean, 100, yeah, is it 180
original release days in the 70s. And it's only truly authentic then.
Yeah, I'm glad I was never one of those people. I collect whatever interested me. You know, right. I've got a really cool Minus the Bear, I think Highly Refined Pirates. I'd have to go look. And it's like a really cool limited edition blue vinyl. I think it's great.
That probably came out when color vinyl was just getting going.
Yeah. Kind of funny to see it take off like it is now, you know?
Yeah, I think back in that day, I remember I just got like a small 10-inch color vinyl from Newfound Glory of their covers of the At the Movies, or all the movie soundtrack covers. I remember I just happened to get it. I don't even remember how, but I remember that was a color vinyl and kind of tripping on a little bit.
That's cool.
How about we go all the way back? Do you remember your first record store experience and maybe the first record you ever, or album, tape, cassette you ever bought?
Oh yeah, I mean, it must have been probably either Warehouse Music or Tower Records.
Yep.
Probably, I don't know, late 90s, mid 90s. I bought a tape. It was a Weezer's Blue album, and it was a tape.
Okay.
And then I also was able to buy Green Day's Dookie.
Oh, nice. So you got two on the same day.
Yeah, and then I got really excited, you know, my Walkman, and I think I burned out those tapes and had to buy new ones eventually.
Yeah, that was my experience too. We had cassette. I think I talked to my parents, or asked my parents probably relentlessly, to go to a record store for, it felt like years to me, but it was probably, I don't know how long I asked them before they actually took me. But they finally took me. I had heard about Pearl Jam from a friend at school, and I was in third grade. And they finally took me. I remember back then you could actually listen. You can like go say, hey, can I listen to this? I got the record and they let me listen to it. So my parents had to ask the person working there that although it was like, oh, are there any bad words on this? Or is this like appropriate for his age type questions? And that person like totally hooked me up, because they're like, oh yeah, no worries. This work is fine for him. There's nothing that, even if there is, he won't understand it, which is completely true because I don't listen to lyrics. But they're probably definitely were not lyrics that were great. But the person was right. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know. I'm pretty lucky. My parents never really cared too much, because I was never really a bad kid or had a foul mouth or did anything, you know, too crazy. So I don't think they really cared too much about vetting what I listened to. So I got pretty lucky there.
Yep. Tower Records was probably my favorite. But then, you know, like you said, Warehouse was big. Sam Goody,
Virgin.
Virgin Record Store. Yeah. Circuit City. Circuit City usually had the best prices for a lot for a while there.
Yeah, I feel like what were most CDs when you said the first week they come out like $9 or
Yeah,
$9.99?
totally. At Circuit City, they had the best deal.
And then they jump up to like $13.99 or something like that.
Yeah, or at Sam Goody, it would be like 18. They always, I felt like they were always more expensive there. Whatever record store memories.
I mean, the one I have that I always think about because I have the poster is the Fingerprints poster minus the bear when we saw them at,
Oh yeah.
with what, 30 other people? Didn't seem like they
Yeah.
could fit too many other people in that small record
Yeah,
shop.
no, it was the original Fingerprint, so they actually moved. I don't know when they moved, but not too far after that show they moved, because we saw Minus the Bear. It was their album release party for Planet of Ice, and that was released in 2007. And I actually saw the Dears, Dears, do an album release show for Degeneration Street at the new Fingerprints in 2011. So I think they must have moved, obviously, like 2009 or 2010, somewhere in that range.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't think I really never went out to Long Beach too often. So it was probably that minus a bear show was probably the last time I was there, honestly.
Oh, really? Yeah, so you never went to the new one.
No.
Yeah, it's a nice, like, it kind of has like this balcony. And obviously, for in stores, it was much more set up to do stuff like that because they could clear out like the middle of the store. So, and they could put in a full, like a stage. But that was such a fun experience doing the Minus the Bear show there because you're so crammed in there, and then all the CDs, there's like room for like two people in an
Yeah.
aisle,
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah, that was great.
They put on such a good show, and then you get to do like a meet and greet after. So that was a lot of fun.
And then I was gonna say another place that I used to go to was Bionic Records
Oh, yeah.
off Bolsa Chica in Huntington. I think that's Huntington.
I haven't even thought of that for a while.
Yeah. That's where I did a lot of, well, CDs at the time and then kind of I had a couple records from there, but that was cool. That was really neat. One of the guys who I still, he has a podcast too. His name was Ray Harkin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was really kind of instrumental in my hardcore music listening, and because he's always telling me what to check out and stuff. It was cool. That was a really cool experience. I miss that place.
A lot of record stores we pour out a little bit in memory.
Yeah.
But luckily we still have a few around
Yeah.
to still enjoy.
Yeah, do you frequent any close to you?
Yeah, so I mean the ones close to me would be Factory Records. So that's the one I go to the most, and we'll try to that'll be my first stop on record store day to see if they have what I'm looking for. And then there's also Port of Sound Records, which is next to House of Pizza.
Oh, nice.
So that was good. And I actually took my older son Duke, and he got his first album ever at Port of
Oh, how
Sound. So
cool.
he picked out the Avett Brothers, The Carpenter, as his first record.
Oh, how cool.
So that was a fun experience for me.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, like the record store I'll be probably checking out is called Wax Tracks. And it's in downtown
Okay.
Denver, Capitol Hill area. So I'll probably check out that store and see what they've got. And there's a couple others I might stop by, but that's pretty much my main go-to for records.
Jordy's dad was telling me the one that he went to back in the day was called Licorice Pizza, which I was like, we need to
Interesting.
bring back Licorice Pizza because it makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Also, did you ever get into Columbia House, or did your parents do Columbia House record, the catalog?
No, but I know the catalog because I've.
Oh man. My
Yeah.
parents did that. I got so much music from that. That was great. That was good times.
Nice.
They suck you in with that was like 10 records for a penny each or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And then you pay whatever how much a month for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right. That's how they get you.
Yep. It was a good gimmick. I bought into it. Or my parents did, at least.
Yeah.
Or speaking of my parents, so I was telling my mom that we were going to do this show together, and she said that some of her favorite memories, or memories, I guess, in general, was that even on, like, vacation, I would be like, hey, there's a record store, or there's a CD coming out. I need to go to this record store. She said that there was, like, a Virgin at Downtown Disney in Florida. We were in Florida. And she remembers going to that record store and taking me there because I was nagging her, probably. And I said, I knew the exact record I was looking for, too. I remember it because I was really hard to find for whatever reason. It was John Frusciante's solo album, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So I finally was looking through it, and I got it in Florida. And then there was another time that we're in Hawaii, and there was a Red Hot Chili Peppers record that came out, and I was like, we have to find a store today. I have to listen to this record. So we finally found a Borders Music, and they took me in and got the record and listened to that for the rest of the trip. Luckily, the rental car had a CD player, so we listened to that. We went to, like, the national park where the volcano is, and I just remember cruising to that, and it was, by the way, was nice. The record that just came out, so.
That's cool.
I always kind of remember Hawaii listening to that record.
That's cool. Yeah, I've done that before. We'd be on a trip, and I'd be like, oh, I need more music to listen to, and I'd go find something that I really wanted. I still do that.
I don't feel this episode would be complete if we didn't talk about. We had many pilgrimages, as I would say, to Amoeba Records up in Hollywood. We made a whole day of it, typically. We would plot it out. We would look forward to it. And then it was usually just the two of us. We make a day of going up to the record store. What are your memories of those trips up there?
Oh, man, just remembering, like, I used to have lists of records that I was looking for.
Yeah.
And just the anticipation of either like finding the record or the CD I've been looking for of that obscure band that only I and maybe 20 other people want, you know?
Right.
And just that anticipation of going in and you know how like record stores have a smell?
Yep.
You know, just kind of like it smells like, especially if they have older vinyl, you know, it just kind of smells old.
It's got a musk.
Yeah, it's got a scent to it. And just that kind of like, ah, okay, here we go. Let's hope I can scratch some of this off on my list. You know? And just being like, oh, hey, Sean, check this out. Look at this thing. You know? Or, oh, they have this too? You know, just the excitement of it.
Yeah, I remember now that I forgot about the list, but I probably had one on whatever real estate agent pad that we got for free.
Yeah.
Like all the records like written down on that, stuffed in my pocket. I'm trying to find everything. Try to remember my alphabet so I know where to go first. And I guess the challenging thing at Amoeba was it was all broken into different genres. So sometimes the scenes are like kind of borderline genre or borderline, is it by the artist name or by the band name? Like this was a collaboration. Like sometimes findings, and it's a huge, I mean, if for those listening, you don't know what Amoeba Records is, definitely go look it up. You'll know where it's probably, I don't know if it is officially, but it's got to be one of, or it is the largest record store out there. And they have everything that, and they used to have, back when Chris and I would go, they even had like a whole DVD section, a movie section, vinyl section, jazz section, CD section, cassette section, used section, new section. It was all over the place. And then it was all by genre too. So rock, soul, hip hop, rap. So you really had to know, kind of navigate. And that's why it took us all day, because we would be in there for hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss those days. That was a lot of fun, just kind of geeking out on music and what we could find. And I've been with people where they find something you wanted and you get upset because they buy it, and that was the last one available.
Finding vinyl, too, that was like the best place to go back then, because almost every record, I mean, places like Factory or Porter Sound, they have a decent selection, but if you're looking for some used records, they don't necessarily, they're never going to have like the full stock of like every record that you could think of, like you would find on Spotify. I even remember up in Claremont going to a place called Rhino Records, and that was pretty fun, a place to go for record shopping as well. But Amoeba was, they had everything. So if you were looking for used vinyl of Tom Petty or of Led Zeppelin or whatever, Queen, whatever it might be, these records that were either sold out or hard to find at other record stores, typically you'd sometimes have five different used versions to try to pick from. And then you're trying to decide, do I go for the cheaper, worse quality, or do I want to spend some more money for the better quality version? And sometimes talk to the people that work there to get their input and go off of their expertise. So it was definitely, it was an ordeal.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, Fred Armiston, the ambassador for Record Store Day this year, he did like a video or DJ'd or something at the new Amoeba Records, which is cool to see that he was utilizing that space. And hopefully maybe when you're back in California, we'll do another pilgrimage to the new site.
Yeah, that would be great. That'd be a lot of fun.
I think if I remember correctly, we used to go to the Hat afterwards too. So we had to like gorge ourselves with foods because we were famished from the hours we'd spent inside of a record store.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I miss the, we would go and then we'd eat and then we'd sit in like 2 hours of traffic to get home.
Yes. Oh man, that was brutal.
But usually we'd have a CD and we'd just listen to all the new music we bought. Or
do you have any like albums that stick out to you that you picked up at Amoeba?
I have a lot of like small 7-inches from hardcore bands and stuff that kind of mean a lot, stuff that obviously don't mean a lot to a whole lot of people, but just kind of cool rare finds of bands from like Canada or obscure. They probably printed, you know, a couple hundred of them and sold at shows, and then someone sold it to Amoeba, or you know, they got their hands on it somehow. You know, those little things I still have that I really enjoy.
Yeah. So I remember getting a bunch of records there. But the two that kind of stick out for whatever reason is I got Queen, A Night at the Opera, which is obviously their popular record. But it was hard to find like a nice copy of it. Like so many of them are just beaten to heck or have stains mm-hmm. on it or whatever. So I actually yep. found like a nice copy of it, which was cool. So that one sticks out to me. And then the funny one is I got this, maybe I'll post this to our Instagram because it's hilarious. I got a Def Leppard record, and it's a colored vinyl with a picture of them and their epic metal hair on the vinyl itself. It's pretty Def Leppard, to say the least.
Yeah, I would say so.
What about Record Store this year? What releases are you hoping to potentially pick up, if any?
I, you know, nothing was like really jumping out at me. The one, I'm trying to find it. I forget what it was. It seems like a lot of John Prine's coming out. I wonder, because of his
All right.
passing and everything. There's a couple releases that seem interesting. Tom Petty's got one.
All right.
Even Charlie Parker, was a jazz musician, that's pretty interesting.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, what's the Tom Petty one about?
It says Angel Dreams, Songs and Music from the Motion Pictures. She's the One.
Oh, okay.
12,000. Oh, okay, so it's the 25th anniversary of its release. So that's pretty interesting. And then the Gorillaz had something that seemed pretty interesting. Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, so I mean, like we talked about, there's so many. I feel like we should just say, like, I mean, there's so many random ones on here. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of cool ones, but just gonna pull like one random one. There's this one called All Them Witches. I have no idea what that is.
I know it. They're
You
like
know
a
that one?
stoner metal band.
Well, but the ones that like stood out to me were the June 12th release. The only one I'm really hoping to find is Elton John, and he has a record called Regimental Sergeant Zippo. And apparently this record was supposed to be released in 1968, but it was ultimately shelved. So in essence, this is an Elton John record in his kind of heyday and or prime, and no one's heard it or it's never been released. So I feel like that would be a really cool one to pick up. And I think that's, isn't Regimental his actual name?
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe that's why he shelved it. He didn't want people to realize what his real name was.
Yeah.
Reginald is his, it was his real name, which I guess, yeah, why would I say regimental? But yeah, Reginald was his real name, so that definitely kind of run a bell too for me. And then so the other ones are actually coming out at the July 17th release. So one that looked cool was Rolling Stones is doing like a 50th anniversary of their Hot Rocks album, and it sounds like really cool. I think it's yellow vinyl, it's got a lithograph and all this stuff. It's got a lot of stuff, so I'm kind of hoping that I can find that, and also that it's not going to be $50 or something ridiculously priced, because it sounds like a lot is included in it, so it might be priced out of my price range or willingness to spend. But that one could be cool. And then the other one coming out on July 17th is Saint Paul and the Broken Bones,
Yes.
and they are doing a live album. Which that happens a lot for these record store days, and a lot of times I'm not a huge live album person. I think they're fun to listen to every now and then, but this one I think is really cool because they actually perform their album Half the City in its entirety in order. So in essence, you're getting an alternate recording of that record, which I think is something that would be really cool to pick up. And in addition to that, when you're talking about artwork, the artwork for that record, the colors they chose is kind of like an alternative color choice of the Half the City album. I almost just want it. And Jordy kind of saw it and was like, we have to have that just to have in the house because it looks so pretty and amazing. So that one I'm hoping to pick up at July 17th too.
Nice. Yeah, I just saw the there's kind of a Al Green Give More Love LP, but the
Ooh.
Gorilla one, Gorilla's G Collection, and it's oh wow, it comes out July 17th, and it's a vinyl box set contains six Gorilla's studio albums from 2001 to 2020, including the current release Song Machine Season 1. So it's kind of one of those, I guess you really have to like a band to go for a box set, but
right,
it's only limited.
Remember
to...
when box sets were a big thing?
I mean, that was
kind of the way I went about, because there's so much Jimi Hendrix, and I remember getting a Jimi Hendrix box set, and I remember getting an Eagles box set, and that was everything. If I could get a box set, that was like my Christmas present or whatever, birthday present, and I listened to it. That was such a cool way to experience music too.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, nice when you, you know, like a band that much, you know, you get a lot. I mean, and this one's limited to 980, so that's super limited.
Yeah, that might be hard to come across.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to find it.
Who knows? Maybe, probably also expensive, so maybe people aren't wanting to put up the money.
Yeah, definitely.
This has been a lot of fun, Chris.
Yeah, this was a fun one. It was kind of nice to talk about some of our favorite experiences going to record stores and giving shout outs to a couple local stores in our areas, which is cool.
If you're listening and got to the end of this episode, go and support a record store, especially if this is, you're listening to this on Record Store Day, or maybe this would be fun to do, is even if it's not a Record Store Day released, any support we can provide these important cultural community institutions within everyone's cities, I think it's important to keep them around, because I think it's going to be a sad day the more of them that disappear.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. I've had many good memories growing up, going to record stores, still kind of occasionally every, I don't know, once a month or once every couple months, make it to the record store, hoping you find what you want on your list.
Yeah. So make sure you follow us on your favorite podcasting platform and subscribe or follow to get notifications when we release new episodes. Follow us on Instagram. Go and support your favorite local record store. And until next time, I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Album Worms.